Joy down in my soul. before salvation in a far and distant land. Two rusty nails pierced two precious hands. There a man named Jesus for silver was sold on an old rugged cross. The great love story was told. Oh, oh, what a story. I love you was written in blood. Rivers of mercy were flowing. Between two thieves was the Son, and the ransom was paid for every man's soul on an old rugged cross. The great love story was told. He cried, "It is finished," and the world heard the sound, marking the beginning as his blood touched the ground. The master plan for living on Mount Calvary was made. Such expression of love is salvation today. Oh, oh, what a story. He said, "I love you," and he wrote it in his own blood. Rivers of mercy were flowing from the matchless fountain of love, and the ransom was paid for every man's soul on an old rugged cross. The great love story was told. Oh, the ransom, it has been paid for every man's soul on an old rugged cross. The great love story was told.
Rex has already prayed for the message, so
watch it.
We're going to turn this Hispanic loose.
Ooh, Hispanic. Gee, that's a new one for me. Yeah, when I remember, they called us greasers. They called us Chicanos. They had a lot of names for us. But the greatest name they ever called me is a Christian. You can't beat that. Amen. Good to have you. We really are. We're tickled to have you. And you might want to, you might get mad at me. I went Friday to see the Dots and the Bill. They were rocking the building. People probably left their horse aggravated because the Bill couldn't pull it, criticizing. But the thing was, they came in there expecting Citizen Bill to pull it. Forgive me, will you? There was more excitement at Citizen Bill that night than there has been here. You don't understand, preacher. They're fanatics. No, they don't know what fanatics means. Fanatics ought to be those that are really, really out for something. They just wanted to see the Bill win so they could be placed in the right bracket. Enough of that. Acts. That's where we're going. Good to have every one of you. Good to see Martha and Judy. These ladies that have went through struggles, and the enemy probably has told them a lot of things. And in honesty, to Judy and to Martha, if we could talk to them, you know what they'd say? I wish you were here. I wish you were here. And they, you know, it's only natural to miss them. There's an emptiness there. But I'm telling you, their battle's over, and we're still in the struggle. In the early church, right after Pentecost, they were having the time of their life, and right away, Satan come and visit and tried to get the church discouraged. The new administration is telling us, let's make America great again. And he's wanting to go back. I'm not campaigning, God forbid. Lord have mercy. Somebody's liable to hit me with a rotten apple. But he said, let's get back to the way it used to be. The early church had a struggle. They had a struggle. Everything was being fulfilled. So I want to start with the fourth chapter and just read a little bit. Yeah. They had got together with the power of God, and there was a 40-year-old man saved, and it cost, oh, some shaking. They wanted to crucify them. They wanted to threaten them. But let me read to you. Fourth chapter. I'm going to jump a little bit. Let's make the church of the living God great again. You know, we've let the enemy cheat us, deprive us, quiet us, discourage us, and try to defeat us. And we've listened to them. You've got four pastors. If you don't like this one, if he gives you the word, pray for him. The other three, we all have different ways of speaking or presenting the gospel. But as long as it's a good news, listen to it. Yeah, listen to it. Fourth chapter, 21st verse, listen to it. So when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Because the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. Then down in the 29th verse, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servant with all boldness to speak the word. 30th verse, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, signs and wonders may be done by the name of Holy Child Jesus. When they prayed, 31st verse, when they prayed, man, I'd like to see this again. The place was shaken. Yeah. This was before Elvis Presley's song, a lot of shaking going on. Yeah. When they prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were one heart, one soul. Neither of them had aught things which he possessed was his own, for they had all things in common. Now, I want to go to the verse that I want to use, and you pray for me. Listen to it. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them. To me, people judge the church by the outside, and I know the church needs to be taken care of. You pray for me. I've asked God's blessings, and I want to see us. 20 some years, we started. It was a struggle. It wasn't easy. There was a lot of heartaches, a lot of help needed, a lot of people praying, a lot of people helping, a lot of people working. And we was a little church that began to grow for the grace of God. The church in the community ought to be one of the best places, outstanding. Not the building, but the inside. The inside. When you can come in and feel the presence of God. When the place begins to shake by the power of God. You know what makes a church great? When we all put our hand to the plow, working united, setting aside our differences, praising the same God and obedient to the Holy Spirit. Guess what God will do when we become united? He'll begin to lift up his name, and men and women will be saved. He said daily. He used the word shaken. He said the word marvel. So if there's ever a time that in the troubled world that we live in, what's facing us in America, what's facing us in the future, it's time for us to put on the armors and begin to seek the face of God till we hear from heaven. You don't have to get as loud and as emotional as I do. But let me tell you something. They were full of the Spirit. And when God fills you, there's no room for nothing else in your life. And he wants to do that to you. Yeah. Now, as I said, not all of us, and you ought to be glad that not every one of us is, every one of the pastors is like me. We're all four different. But I like to get excited. I really, especially knowing what he did for me and knowing what is coming. But you know what? In this early church, through all the struggles, he said, I've got to go away. I've got to go away. But I don't want you to get disheartened. He said, I want you to know I will come again. So while I'm gone, I want you to stay busy. I need for you to be bold. I want you to assemble together in one mind and one accord. And the early church began to spread through the struggles. We don't like the struggles. We don't like the harassment. We don't like the persecution. But that was part of the early church. The more they struggled, the more they suffered, the greater God used them. For a church to be great, we've got to have the right purpose. And our goals ought to be, as John said, not to decrease in him, but to increase in him. I don't want anybody to label me, preacher. I don't want them to think I'm a radical. Well, I've got an answer for you. You're either going to get in all the way or you're not going to be active for Jesus Christ. They had a purpose. They went from house to house. They begin to witness and they said, now boys, we're going to turn you loose. Yeah, we're going to turn you loose. But this is what they said. Now, you do what you think is right. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to continue to tell you what the Lord has done and showed us. So their purpose was to get the message out to all humanity in that day. They didn't have the luxuries that we had. It wasn't a convenient thing. It was a struggle. It was a struggle. But they took God at his word. So they began to witness at home. You know. Bob Runyon and I was talking about my neighbor. He knew him well. And he said, when are you going to get him? I said, I've invited him. I can't get him. But not only him. I'm surrounded by a community that's not interested. To them, church is a drag. It's boring. I've got better things to do. Church to me is very important. And I'm as far as a husband, as far as a father to my children, I'm probably boring. Because I don't do a lot of things, you know. I'm not a hunter. I'm not a fisherman. I love to take my family on vacations because we get to get together. And I enjoyed that. But other than that, my father-in-law wanted to make me a hunter and I didn't take to it. Yeah. A preacher friend of mine said, go with me to fishing. We went to fishing. I got impatient. I said, I ain't going no more. So, dear heart, my heart's desire is to tell the world I want to start at home, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And guess what? We've got a building that has everything to meet all the needs. And I said to some part of the board, I said, listen, we have the greatest potentiality at Gold Town. We can minister to the elderly. We can minister to the youth. And I like a church when there's babies being born into it. Amen. I like for sons and daughters to be born into his kingdom. That tells me that God is working. They don't bother me. I tell you who bothers me. Someone said, well, they cry. Well, we got a nursery. You see, we've met all these needs. But the babies don't bother me. It's those big babies. The ones that seemingly don't want to do anything, don't want to labor for the Lord, but yet they turn around and all they want to do is criticize you. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Yeah. Listen, folks, it's time that we work together and see God's kingdom advanced in our local. Now, I want to see all the churches prosper. And I don't recommend young converts go to any church. I want them to go where they can have their, not the flesh, but the soul fed with the word of God, with the presence of the Lord. When they leave the house of God, they can say, it's been a wonderful place to be. You know? Well, it's boring. No. We don't want to make it boring. But you know what we need to? You know what we need to offer them? Good news. Not from the Daily Mail. Not from the Gazette. Not from the Wall Street Journal. But we need to offer them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what the gospel is? In the nutshell, this is what it is. God offers sinner people eternal life. Yeah, yeah. Man alive, you mean that's available? You better believe it. But you've got to come the way of the Lord, dear heart. They wanted to spread good news. I'm not hearing good news. Not from the radio, not from the television, not from, dear heart, the newspaper. But I have good news to tell you about. There was a man called Jesus that loved you so much that he died, that he wasn't willing, not willing, that you should die lost, but have eternal life. Forever! That's good news, isn't it? I mean, bless God. And you know what? To make a church great, there's got to be some sound, some strong, some effective preaching. And the word of God has it for you. Yeah. It's there for you. It's there for you. I thought as we were challenged in our class, I don't know about your class, but boys, we're getting challenged. These guys study and they pray. And there's a lot of things. And I thought, you know, I'd like to, when they were asking, talking about Judah, I thought to myself, you know, when I get home, I'd like to ask the Lord about that. Will he be there? But then the Lord said, listen, son, listen to me. The former things will not be there. Yeah. It'll all be one glorious day. Now, if he didn't make it, then that's in God's business. You know who I got to take care of, number one? Right here. I got to make sure that I believe him and take his promises and take his word and apply it daily. Yeah. I mean, it's, to me, it's exciting, especially as old as I'm getting and I'm almost home. Yeah. So, you know what? The great church that God wants us to have needs to have some sound, united preaching, anointed with the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God will challenge, it'll rebuke, it'll search you, it'll convict you. And more people would probably come to the altar, but you know why they don't? They would wonder what you're thinking. I wonder what he's done now. They don't answer to you. They're answering to the Lord. But the word of God will cut. Yeah. Coming and going. I told someone. I learned three verses. And I've told you this before. Never, never. I was bored with church. I was made to go. But you know what? God used it in his wisdom. And he put it in this little old mind of mine so that I went and listened to the gospel by a sound evangelist, and I saw myself lost and down the aisle. I didn't have to go to the aisle. I didn't have to go to the altar, but I did, and I like the altar. Don't get me wrong. I like it. I think we ought to use it more often. Yeah. And it don't matter what I think, whether he thinks what he thinks, it's what he thinks. That's the one that really counts. So they went out, set out. Yeah, just didn't take much garments with them. They just went. God said, I'll take care of you. I'll meet the needs. So down they went. Some lost their lives. Yeah. But you know what sound preaching will do? It'll cost you. Not only to live right, walk right, talk right, sing right, and enjoy it. Yeah. But you'll have a challenge by the enemy. Yeah. That's a good sign that we're saved. Is that he's bothering you. Because if he don't bother you, he's got you. Don't you think? Yeah. He's out to destroy, he's out to debar. You know what? Great preaching ought to expose sin to the fullest. Now, I know we've categorized it. We've categorized it. And a lot of times people tell me when I visit them, I'm not a bad fella. But I've got an answer for them, and I gave it to them. You may not be a bad fella, but you're not good enough. Your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Yeah. They don't like that, but that's what the Word of God says. And you know what? We are ambassadors. Yeah. We are to be living epistles. We ought to be, dear heart, so full of the Spirit of God that they say, man, what's going on at Gold Town? I'd like to go visit it. Yeah. I don't think we ought to have a dry church spiritually. Yeah. That's me. That's me. Yeah. This Hispanic, as Ron said. Yeah. I'm emotional and I like. And you know why I don't think that we ought to be quiet? And you don't have to shout. You don't have to run the aisles. And if you do, I think you ought to walk straight when you come down. Don't you think? Yes. I mean, walk straight. So they can see. Yeah. What was it that Acts said? They've been to Jesus. They've been with Jesus. And they've learned of him. Acts once again said, they were first called Christians. at Antioch. My, my, my. Wouldn't it be one? God placed us here and gave us good sound people, and they gave us good teachers to learn, to challenge us. And dear heart, that's all part. But you know what? Through all the explosion of sin, it cost some of them their lives. They left here. Paul was a good witness for the church that he belonged to, the Pharisees. But when the man of God was crucified or stoned to death, he said, "Lord, this is your son Stephen. Don't charge this charge to Paul." I believe there was something took place there that never, never, never left him. So there was great persecution. But along with persecution, there was great rejoicing. We don't get excited like we should. I like what Jimmy Castor said. We were talking about the church, you know. And he was still so excited about his little girl getting baptized. Yeah. Well, I said, you know, she's just tiny. She don't know. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. If we would have more people come like the mind of a child in obedience and faith, in trust, in love, boys, we as Christians would be much better off. Amen? Amen. But I thought when Jim said that, you know, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Another thing that'll make the church great: when it begins to shake with the power of God. Well, we're not used to that here. Oh, my. Yeah. We're not used to that here. We're sort of quiet and formal. It's all right for you to be quiet. But if he's in there, he'll come out. Some way or other. You may just wave your little hand. You may just cry. He just might smile all over. But if he's in there, he'll come out. Amen. He will come out, you see. The place, the Bible says, the place was shaken. Boys, they had the power. They began to witness. I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge. But I see people come for a while. And they just quit. And I know what the word says. I know, you know. Some don't get rooted up. But then others, dear heart, come for a while. They run well and they just quit. What? We miss you. Well, I'm just too busy. Don't ever get too busy to serve the Lord. Don't ever get too busy to serve the Lord. Yeah. I see a lot of people in their heart that join the church. And they've been convinced that what that is they are now Christians. No, no, no. Listen to me. The suffering, the persecution that they went through, it wasn't just tongue lashing. But Father Satan made sure that they were destroyed. It might cost us. Before our journey's over, we might have to die for his cross, for his cause, for the cross. Are you ready? You're trying to scare me. No. No. I want you to put all of your, all of your trust. You know, when he uses the word quicken, make quicken, that means we're alive. We're alive. Praise the Lord. I mean, we're alive. We've died to sin, and we're alive in Jesus. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Guess what'll happen? Guess what'll happen? People begin to notice, and they see you shout it. They see you singing it. But then they see you walking it. He said, there's something happened to that fella. What happened to you? That gives you good opportunity to say, I got saved. Saved? Yeah. What do you mean by saved? I gave my heart to Jesus. Yeah. I accepted him as my personal savior. And he gave me the Spirit of God to empower me, to walk with me, to correct me, and to bless me. Yeah. You don't have to be afraid of the Spirit. The more you have, the more you want of him. Yeah. Never, never, never be satisfied. The Word of God says we're to be lively stones. Yeah. I mean, the early church went through it and through it and through it all. But at the end, at the end, when we get home, listen to me, when we get home, when our battles is over, when the Lord takes us home, we're going to be a united people. We're going to live forever and ever. Amen. We're going to have a place of wondrous beauty. Amen. I mean, and I just imagine half of what's been told. Yeah. I'm not anxious. I get asked a lot by some of kinfolks. Are you afraid to die? I don't want to. I hope and pray that he permits me to be alive when the trumpet sounds. Amen. So that I can be caught up with him. But those people were united. They gave it all up. Listen as I close my message. Charlie mentioned it. And I've been working on a message on fishing. And I'm not a fisherman, but I'm working on a message. But you know what? Peter gave up his livelihood. He gave up his fishing to become fishers of men. Yeah. I was getting some gas, and I saw one of our sister churches in their big van filling it up. I said, where are you guys going? They said, oh, we're going soul winning. We're going to go out and visit. Oh, I said, you're going fishing? No. I said, yes. I said, why do you say that? I said, because you're going fishing for men. Yeah. Now and then God blesses us to catch a big fish. A big one. A big one. But he gave up his nets. He left them. James and John left their fishing business. And Paul the Apostle, that scholar, that brilliant mind, that God filled with this knowledge and knew it well. He said, fellas, I want to tell you something. Something happened to me on that Damascus road. That all that I had learned and studied and the demons that were possessing me and I was out to destroy the early church, God got a hold of me in everything that I was is past. In everything that I have, I've gained. Yeah. Think about it. Paul the Apostle gave it all up. Yeah. History tells us about his doom, you see. But the song says, take this old world, but give me Jesus. I've started. And I'm closer to that end than I am this end. But I'm prepared when he calls me. And he made me a promise. And David put it this way. When the time comes, when death comes my way, when the body falls asleep, decayed, I'll hear him with the promise, welcome, you've been faithful over a few things. Let me tell you how I feel. This is from all of my message, but I feel like I'm just a little pebble in his entire kingdom. That's all. I'm just a little pebble, but I'm glad I'm a little pebble for Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm glad that he placed me in the body. Is it really worth it, preacher? Yeah, it sure is. The song says it's worth it all to be his child. It's worth it all to go the last long mile, you see. And I've got news for you in the promise that he made. Pam, you come, and whoever's going to sing, get ready. You might have to suffer here. You might have to suffer. But the suffering will be replaced with the joy of living with him. Yeah. We're not promised a life without pain and suffering and heartaches. But I want to tell you this. At the end, every one of us that serve him, we're going to live with him. We'll never have to separate. And this is what he said. And I think Stan mentioned Wednesday night. A fellow from England in the promises. Listen, great, exceeding, precious promises. And one of them, since I've started, I promised you, Al, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you even low to the end. Father, we thank you. Father, you gave us an example of a great church. Not in building, our Father, not in the furniture, not in, Lord God, in the multi-purpose building, but you gave us a church, Lord God, where sons and daughters can be, Lord God, born into your kingdom, where the power of God can penetrate our life and make us vessels to bring honor and glory, where we, our Father, can be bold Christians, and we can claim your promises one day at a time. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I stumble, Lord God, and I fumble, Lord God. Sometimes probably I misquote it. But our Father, I want to lift your name up to the world. Our God, if there's anybody here that don't know you as a personal Savior, that's never been to Calvary, that's never had an experience, Lord God, that has never had a transformation power take place in his life. Father, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And I ask him, our Father, in Jesus' name, to come. And I'll I'll promise them that if they would come, you would in no wise turn them out, Lord God. Father, you said in Revelation, whosoever will, let him come. Take of the water of life freely. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you, Randy. Bless you. Amen. Amen. The altar's open if you need to come.
I've been your friend for a while.
Amen.
I know you're hiding behind that smile.
The altar's open.
And you're keeping inside tears that should have been cried. You've been brave through this trial. You've been as strong as a stone against the stormy winds that have blown.
You've never
but
been to
you
Calvary.
Have friends who care,
you
more than willing to share. Don't face
we
those
don't
troubles
you. We
alone.
Pray with you.
Can I pray
Is
for
there one?
You?
Is there one?
Can I mention your name to the Lord?
Yes, yes.
When I seek His face, can I plead your case? That's what praying is for.
Amen.
I'll help you carry your cross.
Yes, yes.
And find the way when you're lost. If you let Jesus be true, I know that He'll see you through. Can I pray for you? I know that there'll come a day when I'll have trials and need you to pray. Just like you've done before, you'll mention me to the Lord. That's why I'm here to say, let me be there for you. We'll divide all our problems by two, and very soon there'll be three, you and Jesus and me. That's what friends are supposed to do. Can I pray for you?
Amen.
Can I mention your name to the Lord when I seek His face? Can I plead your case? That's what praying is for. I'll help you carry your cross and find the way when you're lost. If you let Jesus be true, I know that He'll see you through.
Can I pray for you?
Can I pray for you? Mention your name. That's what praying is for. And find the way when you're lost. If you let Jesus be true, I know that He'll see you through. I pray for you.
Yes, yes.
If you let Jesus be true, I know that He'll see you through. Can I pray for you?
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention. And Brother Fisher challenged us to finish reading the scripture to prepare us for the lesson next Sunday, if the Lord permits.